Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
I'm John Batchelor with Professor Eric Klein. His books, there's a sequel now, after 1177 BCE. The world has ended. Combination of accident and intervention and invasion and migration. But we look to who survives, who adapts, who's resilient. And we start with the Assyrians because they're in the Bible and they're easy to remember. The professor teaches me, however, that the Assyrians were successful because they were almost always at war. One particular king of the Assyrians was extremely successful on identifying what you recommend, Professor, is if you're going to survive, you need leadership, and the Assyrians had it.
Yes, absolutely. That's one of the things that I do in the final chapter of this new sequel is try to figure out why some of the societies, the G8 as I call them, why some of them were more resilient, why they were able to make it through the collapse better than others. And the Assyrians are one of the best examples. They've got redundant systems in place, for example. They still have their military. They still have writing. They still have their government. The king is still in place. And that's where having a good leader at the right time might come in. And so we know from their records, which we have for much of the time, though there's an interesting gap right at the beginning, we know that their leaders, as you say, are busy conducting war almost every year. And in part, it's because the people that they had been happily trading with back in the late Bronze Age, they're having trouble. They don't have trading partners per se anymore, so they simply take what they need during these next couple of centuries.
The Assyrians, always at war, conquering and raiding and pushing out from what was originally Ashur, and then their capital moves to Nineveh. They move in tandem with the Babylonians. What was their relationship? Was Babylon a surrogate, a subordinate at this time, early on?
At this time, there are actually, well, on and off relations between allies and enemies. In fact, right after the collapse, the Assyrians and the Babylonians go at it. They're busy fighting each other. And the various kings tell us this. And we, in fact, have inscriptions from the Assyrians that tell us this. We've also got the synchronistic history, the Assyrian and Babylonian chronicles that tell us that they were on again, off again, at war or allied. So sometimes the Babylonians, or by this point they are the Neo-Babylonians, are subservient to the Neo-Assyrians, and sometimes they are equals, and sometimes they flip positions. And of course, eventually, the Neo-Babylonians are going to defeat the Neo-Assyrians and take over with their own empire. But that's not going to happen until the late 7th century. So we have a couple of centuries, especially from the 9th century on, where the Neo-Assyrians are the dominant force in the Near East at that time after the collapse. But eventually, they will be upended by the Neo-Babylonians. And we start seeing then the rise and fall of empires, because the Neo-Babylonians then get upended by the Persians, who get upended by the Greeks, who get upended by the Romans. And so, as they said in Hamilton, oceans rise, empires fall. I believe that's the line from Hamilton. So the Neo-Babylonians and the Neo-Assyrians had a complex relationship. Let's put it that way.
Leadership, you can make it through, you can cope, but there are more lessons. The book is After 1177 BC, The Survival of Civilizations. Eric Klein is the author. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information,
You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.